Let's just take a few moments to look into the Word of God again. Yesterday we spoke about some of the things that Jesus had to say about the Scriptures, and we want to do that again this morning. Remember when the Sadducees came to him with that story they had concocted, seven brethren marrying the same woman after each one passed away? Whose wife will she be, or whose husband will be hers in the resurrection? And then Jesus said those very instructive words, "You do greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." And we tried to address that a little bit yesterday. I don't know how clear things came across, but we emphasized how we need to study the Scriptures as children of God. But that's the book that God has given us to live by, and we need to get to know it. And we need to study it like we study any other book. Take time to read it. Understand what it means. Understand the words. And then, of course, to seek the deeper meaning as the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. Lord, what are you saying to me? Help me to understand your ways and so on. And we talked about different ways in which we can approach the Bible. We said that we can take a word and we can follow that through the Bible, study faith, look up all the words, the verses that talk about faith, or all the verses that talk about love, or the blood, or whatever it may be. And then sometimes it's good to do a character study. Just take a person in the Bible and read about their life, and just get acquainted with their life, and what happened in their life, and how they reacted, and what pleased the Lord and what didn't, and what mistakes they made that we can avoid, and what things they did right that we can try to follow their example. You know, some stories are long, like the life of David or Moses. That would take a longer time. But there are people like Balaam and others that, you know, just a few chapters in the Bible. And that's an interesting way to approach it. And then sometimes you want to just take a book of the Bible and say, I want to get acquainted with the book of Ephesians and find out who wrote it and why he wrote it and who he wrote it to and what was he really saying, and just follow and follow the themes through that book. And, of course, there are other ways to study the Bible. Reading through the Bible, we talked about that. It's good to make that a practice every once in a while. Read through the whole Bible, even the books that are difficult and you don't understand. You'll find that, you know, as you fill your heart and mind with the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit has something to use, and He'll make connections somewhere along the way that you would have never made. And right now I'm reading this passage and it's a little bit boring. I don't understand the purpose of it being here. But somewhere up along the way, you'll be reading something else, and something from that passage may come to mind to help to put something together that you need to understand. God has a reason why He has recorded things the way He did, and we just have to trust that He knew what He was doing, and get acquainted with all the Word of God. And then the last thing I mentioned was just reading the Bible devotionally. That means just reading it, and as you sense the Lord's presence, then you just take time to worship Him, enjoy that presence, and then as that presence dissipates, and you can start reading again, and let the Lord come to you again. And that's a very precious time spent over the Word of God. Also, we need to learn to pray the Word of God. And I trust you've been learning to do that too. You read a passage, and then now you're going to turn that into a prayer. Lord, do that for me. And you put your name in it, and you deal with God. You know, take the prayers of the Bible and pray them for yourself, you know, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That prayer in Colossians 1. How many times I prayed over that. God, fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom. Give me wisdom and spiritual understanding so that I can walk worthy of you, and help me to please you in everything. And you know, God has given us these prayers in the Bible so that we can pray them for ourselves. They're expressions of God's will. And so that's good. And then we talked about how not only do we need to study the Scriptures, But we also need to get acquainted with the power of God and learn to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And that we can never interpret the Bible correctly if we take out the Holy Spirit. We have to acknowledge Him and His power. And when the Bible says something, the Holy Spirit provides the power to do it. When the Bible talks about miracles, it's the Holy Spirit that performs the miracle. And so we don't have to take the Word of God and try to twist it to mean something natural, but we can take it for on face value and believe that God has power to do this. See, the Sadducees, they couldn't figure out how in the world can we be resurrected and live forever. So they twisted that part of the Scriptures or ignored that part of the Scriptures. But Jesus said, if you knew the power of the Holy Spirit, and that He's able to raise you up and transform you and enable you to live eternally in the presence of God, you wouldn't have to twist those Scriptures. You would take them for exactly what they say. And so we need to know the Scriptures, and we need to know the power of God. And we need to learn to yield ourselves to that power through prayer and so on. And as I mentioned, Pentecostals and Charismatics, and they're often accused of, you're just too emotional. You don't know the Bible very well. All you're taken up with is the gifts and the powers. And that's not always true, and it's certainly not right. We should be well acquainted with the Bible. We should have a good foundation in the Word of God. And we should also know how to yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus living in us. Okay, so that's a good balance, and that's what we all need. And now here's another passage. It's in John chapter 5. And just another thing that Jesus said about the Word of God, or the Scriptures, and I won't take much time. I think I went too long yesterday. But I'm not going to do that to you again. Somebody told me, do you know you were supposed to end at a certain time? And I said, no. And but now I know, so I'm going to try. Okay. Some of us have heard of Martha Wing Robinson, and there's a book that you can probably buy in the boathouse called Radiant Glory, and it's of her life, and she was a founder of the fellowship that we're part of, the way in which God came to her and the things that He showed her, she was able to pass on to others, and there are very precious truths that have become very real and precious to us as well. And she said something interesting. She said, all the truths of the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. Let me read that to you again. All the truths of the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. In other words, she's saying that all the truth that you read and receive from the Word of God, its purpose is to lead you to Jesus. Its purpose is to make Jesus more real to you and to bring you into a relationship with Him and help you to nurture that relationship with Him. You know, that's a good way to approach the Word of God. I'm not just reading the Bible to fill my head with a lot of knowledge, to satisfy my curiosity because I have a lot of questions about things, but I'm reading the Bible to get closer to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit uses these truths in God's Word to reveal Jesus to me. Here in John chapter 5, verse 39, it says here, okay, 5:39, search the Scriptures, Jesus said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Here Jesus is talking to the religious leaders who are often challenging Him and so on. And He says, listen, search the Scriptures. You think you have eternal life in these Scriptures, and these Scriptures are talking about me. Well, that must have been quite a revelation to them. And maybe to us too. Here in John 5, 45 and 46, do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses wrote about you. They didn't expect him to say something like that, and they didn't believe it. But Jesus said, listen, Moses, who you put your trust in, and you consider his words inspired by God himself, he spoke about me. The scriptures that you take such pride in knowing and following, they speak of me. They testify of me. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 24th chapter, Jesus was walking with his disciples after he was resurrected. And they didn't know that it was Jesus who was walking with them. He deliberately kept that from them. But it says that he began with Moses. Let's see that. Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Boy, I would have loved to have heard that conversation. All the prophets, he would have talked about Isaiah and Jeremiah and these others. And he showed them how they were talking about Jesus, about his coming, about the work that he would accomplish, and so on. In Acts chapter 8, 35, let's look at that too. And here the Philip meets an Ethiopian eunuch, back on his way to Ethiopia, I suppose. And he's in his chariot and he's reading the scriptures. He got hold of a copy of the scriptures. He must have been very well-to-do in order to have that in his possession. And Philip says, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I understand unless somebody help me, teach me, or guide me? And then in Acts chapter 8:35, can someone read that for me, please? Yes. Yes, you. Whoever you are. Anybody have it? Julie? Yes. Thank you.
8:35?
Yes, please.
Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus.
Right. Okay. He preached Christ to them from that scripture. He was reading the book of Isaiah. He was in the 53rd chapter. I don't know if they called it Isaiah 53 back then. It wasn't divided like that, perhaps. But you know that story of Jesus going to the cross as a lamb led to the slaughter and so on. And he said, this is all talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And he told him the story of how Jesus had come and ministered and then been put to death and resurrected for our justification and so on. And so we see that the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, are really full of Christ. And that's always good when you're talking to Jewish people, that you can show them Christ in their own scriptures and just plant those seeds and then let the Holy Spirit do his work in their lives. Praise God. Well, let's just talk about a few places where Jesus is mentioned in the Old Testament. He said that Moses wrote of me. Tell me a place in the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, where we see Christ. Do any of you ladies know? Or men? Got to think about it. I'll give you a chance. Got a minute to win it. Yes, Sarah.
The bronze serpent.
Yeah, okay. In the book of Numbers, it says there, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. And that brazen serpent, that bronze serpent that was put on the pole and held up so that the people that were bit by the snakes and were dying could look and be miraculously healed. He said, that's a picture of Jesus being lifted up on the cross. And one day, as we look to him for salvation, we'll be healed and saved. So that's good. Okay, that was a picture of Christ. It wasn't a prophecy necessarily, but it was something God led the people to do, and that represented what Jesus would one day do by atoning for our sin on Calvary. Something else? In the books of Moses, yeah.
Bianca? When they ate the apple in Genesis, like, he said that...
Say that again, I'm missing here.
Oh, sorry. He said that the Son of Man will step on the serpent's head.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yes, right in the book of Genesis. That was the first prophecy of the Messiah, that the serpent would bruise his heel, but he would crush his head. And that, of course, spoke of the ultimate victory that Jesus would win over the devil as he gave his life for us. What about, there's a place where Moses spoke about a prophet in the book of Deuteronomy 18:15. One day God's going to raise up for you a prophet like me. And you need to heed his voice. And everything he says will be the word of God. And Jesus claimed to be that prophet that Moses was speaking about. Manna from heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. If a man eat thereof, he will never die. He'll live forever. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. The rock that Moses smote right in the wilderness, and the water came out. That was a picture of Jesus being smitten and the living water flowing as a result. And then we got people in the Bible that were types of Christ, pictures of Christ. You've got Joseph. You know, you read the life of Joseph and you see Jesus in that. Joseph was the savior of his people. He had to suffer. And yet it's through his suffering that he was put into a position where he could save them in their time of famine. And Jesus, of course, had to suffer in order to save us from our sins. Moses himself, he led the people out of Egypt. We heard that. On the Mount of Transfiguration, it says that Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. And in one of the Gospels, it says, and they spoke to him concerning the exodus that he would accomplish. Now that's interesting. Here Moses, who led a tremendous exodus out of the land of Egypt and led the people out of Egyptian bondage, is now talking to the true Savior who is going to lead the people out of the bondage of Satan into the promised land, the true promised land. And so we see Moses as a picture. You ever hear Melchizedek? He was a type of Christ too. And the book of Hebrews makes much of that. That this story about Melchizedek, it's about Jesus. It was an appearance of Jesus himself, many people believe. And so, and then of course all the prophecies. I mean, the book of Isaiah, I suppose more than any other book, has very specific prophecies concerning Christ and what he would accomplish. The minor prophets, they tell us where he would be born. They talk about his fleeing to Egypt. They talk about his ministry, and Isaiah talks about the Spirit of God will be upon him to anoint him, to preach to the poor and heal the brokenhearted, and so on. And then when you get into the Psalms, and there are prophecies about Jesus on the cross, Psalm 22 starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then there's, I thirst. That was, Jesus spoke those words because the Scripture said he would say that on the cross. And they parted his garments, the soldiers gambling over his garments. And there are so many minute details given to us in the life of Jesus that you realize this couldn't have been made up, and man couldn't have put this together. This had to be inspired by the Holy Ghost. This has to be the Word of God. And so, even when we read other passages that don't specifically talk about Jesus, their purpose is to help us to get closer to Jesus. When we read passages about things that we need to obey, well, why do we obey God? Because as we obey the Lord, it opens the way for Jesus to make himself more real to us. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you obey my commandments, then I and the Father will come and will live in your heart and make our abode with you. So really, everything about the Bible brings us back to Christ. And if it doesn't do that, then we're missing its point. You know? And so that's how we need to approach the Bible. Lord, help me to reveal Jesus to me in the Scriptures. Open my eyes. I want to learn something more about him. I want to see him in a greater way. And I want to learn to live closer to him by doing what the Word of God says. Praise God. All the truths of the Bible are simply or but pathways to the feet of Jesus. Praise God. I told my nephew you should probably throw that book away about all the numbers. That's not what the Bible's about. They're supposed to lead us to Jesus. And you know, a lot of people, I just want to say this in closing. I like that word, in closing. I hear a lot of preaching sometimes. I don't listen to a lot of it, but sometimes on TV I'll hear a preacher on the radio when I'm driving my car. And you know, there's a lot of good teaching, very good practical teaching and so on. But I was talking to someone recently. I said, you know what's lacking? When they're done preaching, I'm always a little disappointed because I don't feel any drawing to Jesus at all. That's what I look for when I hear the Word of God. I want to learn how to get closer to Christ. I want to be inspired to give myself more to Him. I want Him to somehow have become made more precious to me. And so much of the teaching I hear is just good practical teaching, how to live, how to be successful, how to, you know, do this or that. And I suppose that all has its place. But, you know, it's God's Word is to draw us to Christ and to bring Christ to us. And if we miss that element, I think we're missing the most important. Praise God.